We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
All the dramatic things I've ever seen. George's Box. Goodness gracious.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
It's a mediocre day to be a Yankee fan on a Monday.
It's a weird day to be a Yankee fan.
Yeah. Listen, hey, we're going to lose a series to a shit team eventually. You know, I believe this team could win a World Series. I don't think that they were the odds-on favorite when it was assembled. They could get hot. They could win the division. They could have not made the playoffs. Like, there's a lot of flexibility here. But there was no situation where I thought, they can set the record for wins. That's not this team.
No, I didn't think we were going to win 118, 119 games.
Yeah.
Too, and it just shows you the cyclical nature of the baseball season, because it felt like for 3 weeks we just couldn't lose. And all of a sudden we blinked, and now we've lost 3 out of 4. It, like, life comes at you quick, man.
Yeah. Dude, it's been it was a wild weekend. I would have rather the doubleheader on Saturday, but they've got the homecoming dinner, so you can't do that. You know, we're letting off the field interfere with on the field. But hey, sometimes you lose them. Sometimes guys get injured. Sometimes guys get suspended. We don't have a full roster.
We don't. And to be honest, the Chad Green injury was probably the least surprised I've ever been by an injury ever in sports, because we have been beating this guy into the ground since 2017. And I actually did some research. So when he got hurt, I'm like, this guy's had to have thrown the most pitches of any reliever over the past 5-6 years. Like, it just had to be. And I couldn't really find it just Googling. I'm not a huge stats guy. My buddy who does some coding, he actually wrote a script to figure it out. And Green has. He's thrown 5,690 pitches since 2017, which is the most by a reliever. Miguel Castro is actually second. It's funny because we also have him at 5,673. And I thought this would happen in 2019, 2020, 2021.
Oh yeah.
I'm shocked it even took this long. By the way, Matt Ogden is my friend who found that. So just quick shout out.
Shout out to Matt. Do I know Matt? Did I meet him at the wedding?
Yeah, he was at the wedding. Yeah.
Was he at my table?
Believe he was.
All right. That's my guy.
Yeah.
Who did Joe Torre ruin?
Joe Torre ruined Scott Proctor.
Scott Proctor. Oh, we've been calling Chad Green Scott Proctor since he threw 68 pitches before game 5 of the 2019 ALCS. Like, I mean, we've been calling him Scott Proctor for a while. Like, it was bound to happen. Least surprising thing, the timing sucks because, like, for him personally, about to be a free agent, has been very reliable, you know, for what he's done. Like, is he the best pitcher ever? No. At times, he's been really great. At times, he's really struggled. But with his performance, you can go out and get a couple tens of millions of dollars.
Oh my God, yeah, he got so screwed. And you look at this and it's like, this is why the players were holding out and they wanted to change up the service time, change up the free agency structure for exact situations like this. A guy that was underpaid and outperformed all of those minimum contracts, it's finally almost time for him to cash in, and he blows out his arm. And to me, it was just so eerily similar to Dellen, man. We did the same thing with Dellen. Beat him into the ground, he gets hurt his contract year, and he's pretty much out of baseball now. So, I mean, I know we're not like friends with these guys and stuff, but I do feel for Green just because he's been such a horse for us. He's been so durable, never complains. He's never a distraction. It just sucks that this happened to him.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a guy who I don't know that I've ever seen smile to begin with. But at the same time, like he looks sad in the dugout when they show him.
Yes.
Because this was going to, like, he, you know, he was a secret weapon in 2017. You know, he's had some versatility, and I don't know what he's making now, but it's not a ton.
$3-4 million, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, which is still, I mean, more money than most of the people listening to this will make in a lifetime. But he was set up to get, you know, 3 years, $21 million, something like that. Yeah, he's making $4 million this year, which is also weird to say. He's made, after this year, he'll have made $8.5 million, which is a lot of money to make in your life, but you're paying a lot of taxes, spending some. Yeah, another $20 million would have set him up.
And he was making nothing and being a top 10 reliever. I mean, 2017, 2018, 2019 wasn't making a whole lot of money, and he was carrying the team, throwing more pitches than any other reliever. Just sucks to see. And when you look at the bullpen as a whole and how it affects everything, all of a sudden, you know, Chapman sucks now. He's averaging 96.4 miles an hour on his fastball. He's got some sort of Achilles issue.
His MRI is clean, but probably still going on the IL.
I think that was just a classic Boone just making an excuse for a player, I thought. I mean, dude, I think Chapman's just wearing down. Like, this dude's been pumping triple digits for, what, 12 years? It makes sense that he's just wearing down. I think he's just old.
Yeah, he's just older, smoking cigarettes, probably lifting too much weight. You know, who knows? Like, obviously he's ripped, but, like, is he ripped in the way, you know, baseball's not a bodybuilding contest.
It's not, and just the pure physics of it, like, how many guys have we seen that have been consistently throwing 100 for over a decade? He's really the only one that I can think of. Like, the body's really, like, we talk about pitchers not being, you know, you're not supposed to throw a million pitches like that.
Yeah.
You're really not supposed to throw a million pitches at 103 miles an hour over a decade. So it makes sense.
Plus, when you can do that, and sometimes you're like, you know what, I have a really shitty flat slider, let me throw that in too. That's not going to help.
So it's kind of like, where do we go from here? I just talked about how life comes at you fast. All of a sudden, Green's down. You know, Chapman definitely looks compromised. And now you kind of have to decide.
We don't have Heal. Heal can't come up, yep, and, like, fill in one of those roles. He's down for the year.
So is Clay Holmes Clay Holmes is the closer now. All of a sudden, you kind of have a soft underbelly in the middle now.
Yeah. Loaisiga has struggled at times. King has had some of his worst appearances. So you got to hope that some of these guys could step up. There's going to have to – I mean, I don't think Wandy Peralta's pitched in 3 weeks. You know, some of these guys are going to have to step up. Some guys in the minor leagues are going to get, you know, an opportunity. I wonder who – and I haven't looked at minor league stats and how, like, some of these guys are doing, but is there an opportunity for someone to kind of do what Seve did? You know, someone who maybe isn't ready or hasn't performed at the major league level, who's a starter in AAA, can come in and be a bolt guy and do two innings.
The answer to that is Clark Schmidt, I think. He's kind of proven that he can't really go the length of a starter. He's had injury issues when he's tried to start. They're not really using him right now. I'd throw him in there. And I also think they have to decide how they're going to use Mike King. Do they want to use him as, you know, the once a week comes in and throws three innings guy, or do they want to use him three times a week, use him more, and he only throws one inning? I think they have to figure out how they want to use those two.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been in favor of the, like, throw the best guy at the best time, like, you know, based on the situation, the way Francona did with, you know, Andrew Miller. But that's got to start from somewhere. Like, you can't go in with, like, a grab bag. You've got to have, you know, we're looking to go 6-2-1 or, you know, whatever the system is. And our starters, I mean, we're wasting really good starts out of guys.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yesterday was brutal. If you were to tell me going in that we were going to have a doubleheader, we get 2 7 shutout inning starts and lose both games, Nobody would have believed you. No. Nobody would have believed. I mean, that was insane.
Against the White Sox, too. Like, it's not, you know, we're not up against Cole and Verlander in, you know, 2019, you know.
And that was the frustrating thing for me. We weren't facing Lance Lynn. We weren't facing Lucas Giolito. They got a bunch of guys injured. I mean, they're a 500 team, and they kind of punked us at home. So let's just get into it. We're going to get into the, you know, the Tim Anderson Donaldson thing. But the big thing that I noticed here, I am sick and tired of whoever our villain is getting the last laugh. You go back to last July, we were punking the Astros all weekend, mocking them. Altuve hits a walk-off homer. Yep. Last September against the Mets, Stanton gets into it with Lindor on Sunday Night Baseball. They're jawing at each other. Lindor hits three homers, and I think the Mets walked off on Sunday night. And then, obviously, Tim Anderson and Donaldson have their thing. Anderson hits a three-run homer, pimps the shit out of it on Sunday night to kind of bury us. If you were going to get into these beefs and these tiffs, win. Get the last laugh. I am tired of our enemies and our and these guys getting the last laugh on us. It's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Tim Anderson home run was so predictable. It was like, he's obviously about to go deep right now.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of, like, guys stepping up. I mean, I have talked for years about Judge being statistically one of the least clutch players. You know, he had his first walk-off last year, and it was a walk. He's really stepped up, you know, and he hit that big home run earlier in the day. And, you know, there's the opportunity there. But as a team, there is to a certain extent, and we talked about it, I think it was last week. Like, if we went into Fenway, Judge isn't bringing the boombox. Sometimes we still get distracted by the off the field or, like, the other things that aren't the X's and O's of the game. And that ends up costing us because our head's not fully in it. Or we choose to do these things. Like, we don't get into the Tino Armando Benitez fight, and then that, like, sparks the team. We right, go out right. there, and then it just, like, we roll over and get our belly rubbed.
Yeah, like, we get in these tiffs, and then we lose every single time. It's like, it doesn't ignite them or anything. I mean, I remember they had that big fight against the Tigers. I think it was 2017, maybe, and they went on a little with, like, Romine and Miguel Cabrera. And they did go on a little run after that, but since then, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, that with David Robertson running out of the bullpen. That's a great gif.
It is. But Seve was great last night. Seven shutout. I'm trying to be cautious, but it kind of looks like he's back. ERA down to around three. Seven shutout innings. First time in like 4 years he went seven innings. I'm starting to get fired up about him.
It's good. I mean, we have every reason to, you know. And then once we get really fired up about him, something like he'll get COVID or something. You know, like it'll just be like one of those situations.
You do have to knock wood with him. And Tyone is down under a three. He pitched great yesterday. There's something about him. I don't know if it's just his face, the way he carries himself. He doesn't give me that bulldog, like, I'm taking the ball. Like, Tyone's going. I've never woken up and gone, oh, Tyone's going today. Like, let's go. For some reason, he just doesn't spark that feeling in me.
Yeah. No, it's just, it's not there.
Right? Like, he could have a zero ERA, and I'd be like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, he's kind of doofy looking. The hairline's atrocious.
That's got to be it.
Yeah. That's just what it is. You're just like, ah, I don't have a lot of faith in you with my eyes. It has nothing to do with ability. I just look at you, and I'm like, is that the guy I want to have my back no matter what? I don't know. All right, you want to talk about Tim Anderson and Josh Donaldson?
Let's do it. Yeah, I'll let you lead that.
All right. So I assume most people who are listening to this know the full story, but I'll just do a quick run through of it. 2019, Tim Anderson did an interview with Sports Illustrated where he said he feels like he's the new Jackie Robinson because he's changing the game. Okay. Is it the smartest, like, comparison? I don't know, because, like, just Jackie Robinson signified so much. But whatever. It's not the end of the world. The Braves played the White Sox in the second half of that season, and Josh Donaldson says that he called him Jackie then. He was in the same division for 2020 and 2021, playing for the Twins. Said he called him Jackie then. Last week, there was a play at third base, and Josh Donaldson kind of slid into making the tag and tried to nudge Tim Anderson off the base. Is it dirty baseball? Maybe. I mean, it's not like no one can get hurt from it. It's dirty if, like, he went in spikes first.
That's gamesmanship. I wouldn't even say dirty.
Yeah, well, some people will. But so I'm acknowledging that some people will. I'm fine with it, you know, especially when you don't get the call. It's not like he got him out.
Right, right.
Tim Anderson took exception to that and shoved Donaldson. Then Donaldson on Saturday goes into second base. Tim Anderson has something to say to him. Josh Donaldson said something with Jackie in it. I don't know, like, the full sentence. I would imagine that it wasn't just like, okay, Jackie, you know, or like, shut the fuck up, Jackie, something like that. Next time Donaldson goes up, catcher gets in his ear, in his face. Umpire looked like a bitch. Donaldson just stood there. Grandal's pointing out to Tim Anderson. Tim Anderson comes running in. Josh Donaldson never loses his cool, stands there the whole time. After the game, is asked about it. Tim Anderson says he called me Jackie. I think that's inappropriate. Tony La Russa, in between swigs of bourbon behind the wheel of his car, says he's a racist. Josh Donaldson stood there and owned it, similar to the guy in Philly who was like, I fucking hate it here, and then just stood there and said, like, yeah, I said that. I was upset at the time. Josh Donaldson then explained this whole story. Says it's not racist. Guy called himself Jackie Robinson. Guy called himself the new Jackie Robinson. He has since then, he won the batting title that year, like barely qualifying, and has led the league in nothing since. Has been an all-star, has been great, but like he's not Jackie Robinson. Caliber. Josh Donaldson is a dickhead. Josh Donaldson will try to get under your skin as a dickhead to get the advantage. I don't believe Josh Donaldson had racist intentions. If other people come out and they're like, yeah, no, he used to throw around N-bombs all the time, or he says this to Hispanic players, totally different story. I think it was gamesmanship and, like, close to the line. I think, like, Donaldson knew what he was doing. He knows Tim Anderson's not going to be like, fuck yeah, that's right, I am Jackie. Like, he's going to be, he might be offended. Hopefully not in a this is racist way, just in a like, fuck this guy, man. I got to hit better and then I don't. Similar to what the Yankees do when things get tough. And now it's come out. We're recording. It's 5:30. Josh Donaldson has been placed on the COVID IL and has been suspended one game. I don't know if he could have served the suspension while on the IL.
I doubt it.
But, like, they could have just waited a day to put him on the IL then or whatever. But he's appealing because he doesn't want to be branded as, like, I was suspended for being a racist. I think Tony La Russa jumped to it too fast start calling people a racist. I think MLB was right to investigate it. And they said, like, hey, we're going to investigate it. Their reasoning, though, I found to be bullshit. They said what he said was inappropriate. That's an argument that I could buy. But they said, and his actions contributed to a benches clearing situation. He walked to home plate. He stood in the batter's box. Never left the batter's box through the whole thing. How is Grandal not suspended? He had more to do with, like, if I punch you in the face and you hit me back, that's self-defense. If your friend 2 hours later comes and hits me, that's assault. That's a separate situation that he caused.
Yeah, Grandal's kind of getting a pass here, and you know, I'll dive into this a little bit. I hated Josh Donaldson before he was a Yankee. He's known for trying to get under people's skin.
I don't think there's anyone who's like, I want, like, we made the trade and we said, like, hey, no, this is why it's good, right? We found the good in it. Nobody ever, if he was making $5 million a year instead of $16 million, no one was like, you know what? I want to add Josh Donaldson to my team. No one.
No, exactly. And I think he did know what he was doing. I do think he was trying to get under Tim Anderson's skin, but I don't think there was any malicious racist intent here. And I also think the situation might have been different if the White Sox were winning. I think this might have been totally different. Remember, we beat the shit out of them last weekend in Chicago, took 3 out of 4. You know, they were winning on Saturday when this happened. I think the White Sox and Tim Anderson and all of them were frustrated. And remember, Tim Anderson does have a bit of a temper. He's been suspended twice, once for touching an umpire, another time for something with a bat flip, and he got thrown at and freaked out. So I don't think either of these guys are choir boys. I think this is good old-fashioned competition in a way. It's trash talk.
Yeah, and if Tim Anderson said he felt it was inappropriate, Josh Donaldson can never call him Jackie again.
Sure, sure.
I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah.
If he does it again, I still don't know that it's racist, but like if a guy goes, hey, when you say that, it makes me feel that way. Good, don't make him feel that way. If it's racist, if he's just like, I don't like him saying it because it gets in my head, fucking get a sign across the street from his house that says Jackie. You know, like, throw him off his game. That's what I think Donaldson was doing. I obviously don't know everything. I thought it was – I mean, they moved quickly for this suspension. I think the one game – so Joe Kelly was on the radio in Chicago when this came down. And so they said, oh, looks like Josh Donaldson suspended one game. And he just goes, I got 8 games for making a face.
That's which, pretty funny.
Which does go to like a larger, I mean, I think it's across like all leagues, but like the suspensions just don't make sense. Like the length, he gets 8 games for that. The guy on the Braves gets caught by the cops actively beating up his girlfriend. He gets 20 games. Bauer gets 2 years. Like, yeah. I'm not saying what's right, what's wrong, you know, whatever. I'm just saying there's no consistency.
No, I think MLB had no idea what – I think they had no idea what to do here. I think they wanted to you know, sort of satisfy the people that were upset at Donaldson. But I also think they didn't want to penalize Donaldson too much because they weren't really sure. I don't think they were really sure.
I mean, when the guy goes, hey, this is what I said. Like, here's what I said. I said – here's why I said it. It's all on tape, you know, the history. Yeah. It'd be like – I don't think Josh Donaldson is a total moron. But I don't think he's coming up with, like, here's this whole elaborate lie in the, like, innings of game that's left. Like, he's been doing it. And then on the White Sox side, I forget who said, one player was just like, well, inside jokes are with people who you're friends with. Because John Donaldson was like, I thought it was an inside joke. Like, you know, whatever, I've said it to the guy before. So, like, yeah, maybe it's not an inside joke. Maybe he's just fucking with you. Maybe it's not a joke. Maybe he's just trying to fuck with Tim Anderson, which I'm fine with. He just can't, you know, he can't say Jackie again. I don't think he should be suspended. This is just competition. Unless there is more. If it's just that comment, I don't think there's enough to suspend.
No, I agree. And you know what I equated to? Has somebody ever gone up to you and called you a nickname or made a joke and you kind of didn't like it the first time, but you kind of laughed and smiled and just hoped it'd go away? And maybe they do it again the next time they see you and then you're annoyed. It's like, all right, why are you saying this again? That's what I kind of equate this to. Like, I think the first time he did it in 2019, Tim Anderson probably laughed it off and whatever. And then he did it again yesterday and Tim Anderson's like, you know what? Now we're losing and I don't like this. This isn't funny anymore.
Yeah, I was at a wedding in France. And there was a dude who was in my frat like the year after I graduated. And he was invited to the same wedding. Da-da-da, we're hanging out. I'm a bigger guy. People are on the dance floor or whatever. And he like patted my belly. And I was like, all right. And he came back and did it again. And I grabbed his hand. I go, stop. And then he came back again. And I threw him in the fucking wall.
Well, yeah, the third time, that's just
terrible. Yeah,
and that's what it time is. What that second time is exactly what I'm referring
to.
You were willing to laugh it off and smile the first time, and then it's like, okay, now I'm annoyed.
And so that's what I'm saying. So the second time is where we are right now. Mm-hmm. I found that disrespectful. Great. Now if Josh Donaldson does it again, you put him in a wall. There's no problem with that. And, like, if they come out, like I said, if there's, like, a history of racist comments, which I don't know, because, like, I tweeted – Josh Donaldson had a catcher in gear in front of him, a whole team behind him, and he just stood there. And people were like, well, because he's a fucking racist. Oh, you support racism? And I was just like, well, I don't know what the, like, what are you
you're
talking
also very,
about?
You're also very out there. I mean, your views on things. I don't know why, especially you.
Like, but, like, yeah, I was just like, also, you know, I'm not watching the whole game on the internet. Like, I saw that happen, and I carried on living my life, kept the game on, but... Like, it's just, we're very quick to jump to everything's racist. And I think it can take away from the things that are actually racist. But, like, I fully support, like, investigations. Like, they should have investigated this. I think they should investigate it more. And if there's nothing, though, this is just fucking boys being boys, trying to push a guy off a base, get it, you know? That's the same thing as, like, well, it's not exactly the same, but, like, the, actually, no, the pushing off the base thing is the same as, like, you're going to get mad at a catcher for framing a pitch. Yep. Kind of part of the game.
Blocking,
you're just trying
to
get an advantage.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit like that. And I want to go on the record. I like the way both of these guys play. I don't think Tim Anderson's a bad guy. Even though he's gotten suspended and stuff, he plays with an edge. Him and Donaldson, they both play very hard.
They give
a
fuck.
That's all we're looking for. To be best friends with the other, with the guys on other teams. Like, I think this is good for the game. I think Anderson's good for the game. I think guys like Donaldson who play with an edge are also good for the game. Like, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with a little fireworks as long as there wasn't malicious intent, which I don't think there was.
Watch, we end up facing them in the playoffs.
Dude, I would love that. I want them. I want them in the playoffs. A, it would be electric, and B, I think they are a great matchup for us. Like, for some reason, I just feel like very confident against the White Sox.
I also like when the White Sox are in the playoffs, they do blackouts where, like, they tell everyone to wear black. I do kind of appreciate when, like, fan bases do that, mm-hmm. where they're just like, hey, everyone just wear black to the game. We're going to wear the black uniforms. Like, if they just told everyone to wear navy for a Yankee game or, you know, pinstripe or whatever, I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah, when I was a senior in college, I went up to Penn State for a weekend from Delaware, and they were doing one of those whiteouts. And I didn't even go to the game. We were just tailgating. But I remember my buddy being like, you have to wear some sort of white shirt or, like, you're going to look like a fucking loser.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. I think it's tough. Like, with the Yankees, it's tough because, like, everything's so expensive. And, like, what do you – if you just tell everyone to wear navy, I don't know. Blacks,
yeah, I mean,
like,
people are going to wear their pinstripe jerseys, and then you got the other people who are just like me that are just going to wear navy hoodies. It really wouldn't work for us.
Yeah, yeah, we're an unruly fan base.
And the Yankees aren't big, like, they're like, they are new school in some ways, but they're very, like, they don't really give out towels or bell, like, they're very,
that's cheap. They're cheap. They're cheap. They're cheap. We're doing rally towels, first 15 fans.
Dude, I didn't get the we never found out if I would have actually kept the pet at bobblehead because that.
Yeah. So what happened? So you didn't go.
Dude, it ruined. Can I be honest? It ruined my entire weekend. I'll be honest.
As soon as I got the notification, I was going to text you, and I was like, I don't want to deal with his depression right now because I knew you were sad, and I was like, I'm not going to be a caring shoulder.
You go through the whole week, right, and you're just looking forward to it Friday night. And the forecast looked great all week. That was the other thing. I checked Thursday night at like 7 o'clock. It said, you know, 10% chance of rain, 80 degrees,
so
clear.
I have notifications set up for your tweets. If you tweet anything, you reply to someone, original tweet, I get a push notification.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I saw you reply to Stanzo and go like, you think we play tonight? And at that point, I was like, what the fuck is he even talking about? Because I had looked at the weather. I hadn't looked that day. But I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Of course you're going to play. Got away from you guys fast.
Dude, it was brutal. Yeah, I woke up and it was just like, oh, 50% rain. I was like, okay, this is probably just in the morning or something. Then it was like 7 o'clock through 10 o'clock. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And then, you know, I had basically built my entire weekend schedule around going to this Friday night game. So I'd made a haircut appointment, you know, Saturday, all this stuff. And I was like, all right, if they make it a doubleheader Saturday night, like, that's perfect. I could go to game two. No, they make it for Sunday. And it just totally, totally ruined everything. And I'll be honest, when I saw the DJ Grand Slam on Saturday, I was a little bit bitter because I was like, ah, I was supposed to see that. Like, this was supposed to be my game.
This is my Grand Slam. Did you think about going Sunday? Was it the first game? Yeah, it would have been the first
game. No, I had family stuff on Sunday. And to be honest, even me, like, I'm not dying to sit through a doubleheader, 2 9-inning games in a row. As much as I love baseball and love the
Oh, yeah, it was a single admission.
Yeah, that's a lot for anybody, I think.
Yeah. Oh, no, it definitely is. My wife and I did one where we were in a suite, and then we made them restock the suite. Everyone left, and it was just us in the suite, and we just made them restock it and just had a sushi boat to ourselves. In, like, a September, like, 2016, we're not making the playoffs doubleheader.
I remember you went to a lot of games. You were telling me you went to a lot of games during those, like, dead years.
Yeah.
Like, 15, 16.
Yeah,
you went to Jeter night, right, when they gave him the plaque?
Yep.
So that was a doubleheader, but it wasn't planned. They decided, like, the day before.
Yeah, yeah. So I was – it was Mother's Day.
Yes.
Because I have behind me a pink Yankees Mother's Day hat, but with the Jeter patch on it.
Nice, nice.
I think, like, when, I don't know, some company sent it to me. So it was Mother's Day. We lived in New York. We had to do Mother's Day in Margate, New Jersey, so, like, Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, all right, well, I got to go. And drove up, had a rental car that I was like pretty much left like, yo, this is running. Like, here, just fucking take this car. And then we hopped right in an Uber and I got there right before the ceremony started. I was in suite 4 and he was in suite 2.
That's nuts.
They cleared the hallway. Like, cleared the hall. They were like, you couldn't. If you, it's the second inning of the game, and if you think you need to go in the hallway, you can just fucking go outside the stadium. Like, you're not, like, people wanted to, like, try to catch him. I had told my wife, I was like, hey, if I meet him, like, just start snapping pictures. Like, I can't pose for a picture with him. Like, I'll be, right, I'll look too weird. Just get, just take 100 pictures. Like, I've never met the man. But, yeah.
And yeah, that was a doubleheader. I remember I got there in like the third inning of the first game and stayed through the whole ceremony. It was a long day. The only other thing.
And we got our dicks kicked in.
Tanaka
was awful. Yeah.
Oh my God. I think they were down like 5-0. And of course, that was against Houston. That was like the beginning of our beginning of our Houston torture.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
But yeah, what are you thinking? What are you thinking for this week? I want to sweep at home, 100%.
Well, you have to. I mean, it's all like it's the only thing that will make us all feel more comfortable heading into Memorial Day weekend. Is like we need to first of all, like we need to sweep Baltimore. Like no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We just need to sweep Baltimore. There's no excuses of like weird fences. I do love DJ's Grand Slam was in the first row. Like, we're headed into the first row of every stadium in the league.
I love it. I love listening to people cry about the dimensions. Like, it is so – I used to hate it, and now I'm just embracing it. If you want to watch a sport where every dimension is the same, football, you know, basketball, it's all a basic rectangle. It's all the same. It's kind of one of the cool things about baseball, I think, that all the dimensions are different.
Yeah, hey, it would have been a home run in one ballpark. Which one were they playing in? Oh, that one? Okay. Like, is what it is.
The other thing is that the opposing managers, like, they're just wrong half the time. Like, the Rangers manager, when he said that, and they showed it would have been a home run in, like, 25 out of the 30 parks. Like, dude, what are you talking about?
Yeah, they love to just jump. Because, like, you just assume. You can assume that, like, yeah, no, oh, yeah, it was never going to get there. And, like, you're wrong. You're aggressively wrong. I like seeing the anger. I like uninformed opinions that eventually get dunked on.
Oh, yeah. It's the best. But no, anytime you're playing a three-game series against the Orioles and Cole is starting one of the games, like my rule is you have to sweep that series. If Cole's not pitching and you take 2 out of 3, fine. But you basically have an automatic win, and then you got to just take the other two. That's how I look at it.
Well, now, I mean, it's a matter of they lost the last one in Baltimore, which I think everyone was – we're all – you know, it wasn't pretty. You never want to lose a game. But we were all willing to just kind of like let that one roll off our backs. Like, ah, you know what? 4-game series on the road. You get walked off. Whatever. We'll just kind of keep it moving. We fought. And then rain out, you win the one at home, and it's like, all right, we're back to rolling. But now when you lose two in a row, you've lost three out of four, you've got to, like, you got to plant your foot. Like, we're not, you know, we're not going any further. We're not losing another game. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, 100%, dude. And I felt the same way. And it's funny how things switch. Like, Thursday, I was like, eh, whatever. And now all of a sudden, it's like, well, shit. Like, now we got to win. I don't know. I know you're not a big gambler, but they're like minus 335 tonight. They're huge, huge favorites. They're like the biggest favorite in a couple of weeks in Major League Baseball. So unless something catastrophic happens, they should win.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've got Cole up against Lyles, who's like barely in the league. You know, and it's funny because, oh man, I just opened Yankees.com and it's just Nestor Cortez wearing a cheese head hat. Not a cheese head, like a cheese cowboy hat, because they're hosting a garden, the garden that they have started in Yankee Stadium. I love this guy's just the fucking face of the team. Here, I mean, people love Cortez, but it says Nestor Cortez and Michael King speak at a garden event hosted at Yankee Stadium. Imagine being a fucking kid and being like, yeah, we're going to the school event, and I got Mike King. I mean, like, great, he's playing well, but, like, that's just not exciting. Yeah, I mean, Cole, this is a good position for Cole to be in, a good position for fans who want to see maybe a little more out of Cole and see him, you know, be an ace, really. You know, this is a point in time where, you know, in previous years, it'd be like, all right, great. Like, we've got CC going right now, maybe Tanaka going right now. Just a guy who feel like is going to stop the skid. And right now, it would be Cole or Nestor. So I'm glad we've got one of them.
Yeah, and Cole was good against the Orioles last time, 7 innings, 2 runs. But we haven't seen that, like, 15 strikeout game yet, right? Like, that's what I'm waiting for with Cole. Like, he had last year he had the complete game shutout in Houston. I think the Angels game, he struck out 16. He had a couple of those. Like, I'm waiting for that.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Like, the vibe is, like, I just don't see that being against Baltimore on a Monday. Like, mm-hmm. That's like a Friday night Houston type thing. Like, when the lights are brighter, he, like, steps up to it. That's where true. It's like, I'm going to play down to my competition and only strike out 8, you know.
No, that's true. But yeah, he should dominate them. We will see Adley Rutschman, their much hyped prospect. First of all, I thought it was hilarious. I actually liked this tweet. Somebody tweeted it. It was like, the Orioles had 3 years to basically plan the Adley Rutschman debut. They do it on the day of the Preakness, and they announce it day of, and they got like 16,000 fans for his debut. Like, how horribly planned was that in terms of ticket sales?
I didn't know. I guess I forgot he went to college. Like, I thought he was younger.
He's 24.
Yeah, like, he's not a young man.
No. I'm not worried. Dude, especially with this, we're already dealing with Bichette and Vlad and Wander Franco. What's one more on the Orioles? Like, who cares?
Yeah. No, I'm not super worried about him. But, yeah, no, they really did mess that up. Because, like, I'm, you know, good buddies with RDT from Barstool, and he's been, like, kind of hanging.
Obsessed.
Yeah. I mean, well, because what else do you have?
Like, yeah.
Cal's not walking through that door. Manny signed somewhere else. Like, whenever he tweets something about, like, a Machado highlight for the Padres, I'm just like, dude, he doesn't love you. Just move on. But, you know, he was so excited for it. Like, he tried to get me to go. He texted me on Saturday and was like, yo, I got an extra ticket because I bought 2 and no one will go with me. It was just the most honest thing.
I can't imagine going to Camden Yards and not seeing the Yankees. Like, I just don't have that in me. As cool of a park as it is, as fun as it is, like, I don't see that.
If I had to be there for work in that area and my hotel happened to be the one across the street, maybe. It's a maybe.
Hard maybe. Yeah.
No, I've also been there a lot, so it's like, I don't really care that much. Like, I've been like, oh, I'm in Atlanta for work, I'll go catch a Braves Pirates game just because I want to see the stadium.
But yeah, no, right, Baltimore. Exactly. But we've already, yeah. Have you been to the National Stadium, speaking of, like, that area?
Not the Nationals. I saw them play the Yankees at RFK when they first, like, came in the league.
Oh, like, what, like 2006, 2005?
Yeah, when I was in college. Yeah.
That was like a football stadium.
Yeah, I literally got a splinter in my ass from the seats. Like, they were so, like, old and shitty. But,
wow.
Yeah, it was like in college, I went on, like, Craigslist and got tickets, you know, from.
They used to sell tickets on Craigslist?
Yeah, dude, before StubHub, like, yeah, you could just, like, you would just, like, meet a guy on the internet and then, like, meet him in person.
Oh, I was going to ask, did he mail it to you? So you would just physically link up with him.
Yeah, because, like, they didn't even have the ability to, like, transfer tickets. Like, I didn't have an iPhone. Like, I had a flip phone. You know, it's 2006. iPhones don't exist yet. So, like, you needed a ticket. Some places could email it to you. But some stadiums weren't even set up to have you, like, print out your own tickets and scan it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I remember me and my dad, maybe, like, the early 2000s, like, 03, 04. Sometimes we'd buy tickets on eBay. And I'd remember it'd be like, oh, we have to buy them in time for them to ship it to us. You know what I mean? So it arrives before the game. All stuff you don't have to think about now. It is wild when you think about it.
Yeah, like, my wife is an Eagles fan, and we were in college. And I took her to a preseason Eagles-Ravens game. You can imagine, like, what the tickets cost. It was, like, $10, $15. But, like, that's all the money you have at the time. And we drove down to Baltimore. And, like, we met a guy, and he was so weird-looking. Like, this guy, he looked like he thought he was going bird-watching. He was like, oh, Ravens-Eagles. I found out that these are not that, so I'll be a creep on Craigslist.
That's funny. Yeah. Times have changed. After the Orioles, we've talked about this, how tough the schedule gets.
Yeah.
We got four at the Trout, man. That is going to be like that. I feel like that's like our midterm, right? Like, let's see how good we really are.
Yeah. I mean, because it also wraps up this stretch of games. So it's like, it's not like, I guess, yeah, it is like a midterm or like, you know, I know it's not the All-Star break yet, but it's like the final of the first semester.
Because we're at the quarter point, I think. We're like right at the 25% mark, I think.
I think we're like just past it.
Yeah, yeah.
But like we're going to play these three. And then, yeah, I mean, we're five games up. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like if we could sweep the Orioles and then go down and just split a series in Tampa, like, that's great. Like, we're not in a prevent defense yet where we're trying to eat up calendar. But in theory, if we were to sweep this series, be 32-12, the Rays lose one game in the next three, you know, now we're six games up. You go, you get a split. Let's just keep it moving.
Right. And then the flip side is if we don't sweep the Orioles and the Rays have a big week and we lose three out of four, all of a sudden we're only, whatever, two games up. Like, it can turn quickly. That's the thing. We don't have this insurmountable lead yet.
Yeah, you look forward to division games because it's when you can, you know, really separate from the pack. But at the same time, like, it could go wrong fast. I mean, we've buried teams. We've both been Yankee fans for a long time. Like, I remember it was 96. I remember we got up like 11.5 games on Baltimore. And I was like, holy fucking shit. Like, we're really going to fucking do this. Like, the Yankees may win the World Series. My Danny Tartable pogs are going to be worth something. And then, like, you know, from there, then you get through that, you get a day off do we have one day off?
So they have Memorial Day off, which is really
so odd. So odd.
You know what's even more fucked up there? I already checked, they're off 4th of July.
They are?
Because, like, every time, like, you know, we're in the time of the year where, like, you start to talk to your significant other about, right, 4th of July plans. So I always look at the schedule. So if I see, oh, the Yankees play at 1 o'clock, you know, I'll push for us to do, like, something at night somewhere. You know, I try and finagle it. And I looked, and they didn't play. I was like, oh, we can do whatever you want. Like, they're not even playing.
They don't – in the month of July, they don't play on a Monday at all. They're off every Monday all of July. One of them's a home run derby, but, and I hope no one's in it from the Yankees, but.
So that Orioles series, is that the first? Oh, they have a doubleheader with Houston?
That got added. That's from the first week of the season.
Man, that's brutal. Yeah. Coming off the Austin. So,
but a lot of teams have that.
So they have home run derby, all-star break, or all-star game, one day off, and then a doubleheader. That's not much of a break at all.
No.
To be honest.
Not at all. And they had built in, the league had built in the extra day off years ago, like a couple years ago, to give guys more time off, but buffer for, you know, if we really got to start making up time because of rain or snow or whatever. And they just haven't been needed to do this. But when you miss the first week of the season, they got to make up those games somewhere.
Yeah, I'd rather them just push it longer, because if you look at this, if you look at July, I mean, that's going to be an emotional week. They got three against the Red Sox. They have the All-Star Game festivities. They go to Houston for that doubleheader. They play the Orioles, but then they go to Citi Field and they go to the Mets. That's going to be an intense 2 weeks for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that – so who's going to be an All-Star? Judge, Stanton, maybe Nestor. Maybe DJ, Nestor.
Holmes. Has to be.
I mean, is he gonna statistically be there?
He's got his ERA is around one. He's got to be, and he's got the best ground ball rate, and now he's the closer. I'd be pretty surprised.
Do you think when they start picking the pitchers, they're like, who's got the best ground ball rate? No, who's got the most
ERA?
Who's got the most saves? You know,
I think Clay Holmes will be an All-Star this year. Usually we send Chapman out of the pen, but that ain't happening.
I think it'd be great if he is. I just can't, you know, guarantee that he would be.
He's got a .42 ERA. If he doesn't make and a .6 WHIP, he better fucking make it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we still got a month and a half until that too.
We said who? We said Judge, Stanton, Cole, Nestor, him. That's five.
Yeah, I mean DJ could be an All-Star. Rizzo
DJ could. Rizzo could. That's probably.
I mean, that's
probably it, right? I mean, Tyone's not going to
get
it.
No, Tyone's
not going to. He's got an ERA under three. Somebody who's not going to be an All-Star is Aaron Hicks.
Yeah, he fucking sucks.
Dude, I think we've gone from like, oh, good contract. No. He's a starter. No. He's a reserve. And like at this point, I think it's just the conversation is, do we cut him?
Well, the good contract was because when you get into year six and seven, you can walk away from the $2 million, the $10 million. You didn't think it happened in season three and four. You know, that's the problem.
He's so broken, dude. And you know what it is? I think, not that he was ever some monster power hitter, but that wrist surgery clearly sapped whatever little power he had left. The guy has one homer.
Well, he's got 29 more coming. So you got to factor that in.
He said that with a straight face. That was impressive.
And, I mean, he's going to steal 30 bases, but he's going to pick off at second. Like, it is.
Oh, my God.
It's. Beyond, so when you're just not hitting, right? So like Gallo's not hitting. I feel like there's a correction somewhere that can be made. When you're getting, it's like when Gary was struggling, he's getting thrown out at third base with a ground ball in front of him all the time. And you're just like, you're not there. You're trying to do too much. You're pushing. The game's not coming to you naturally. You're not letting the ball come to you. I mean, every ball hit in center field. He might as well be jogging around the reservoir in Central Park. Like, there is no urgency to anything he's doing in the field. And you just wonder, like, does he know?
It's a clear effort problem. I mean, the Thursday Baltimore game, there was a sack fly. And I mean, I played outfield. You're taught you sprint to the spot and then you get a running head start so you can, like, fire the ball in. And, you know, this is the eighth inning and there's guys on base and he jogs back and kind of catches it in stride and lobs it in. And I think it was. Phil Nevin's kid took second, and he ended up being the tying run. So it's just like, this is very basic, fundamental baseball stuff. The game that Judge hit that walk off homer, he jogged after a ball too, and he got bailed out by Judge. But like, this is not the first time he's been jogging.
I mean, last year he was jogging.
Yeah,
like it's, you know, he wasn't the most fleet of foot, right? We didn't think he'd ever be a 30-30 guy
like he
currently is, but he like there was more athleticism. Like the athleticism has just fallen down so bad. Like if he hit 250 and gave a fuck, like great. But he doesn't have the arm anymore.
The Tommy John sapped the arm and then the wrist surgery sapped the power. Everything's been kind of, yeah.
I think he's just a shell of himself trying to get through.
I mean, career 232 hitter, career 331 OBP. People talk about him like he's this on-base machine.
He sees a lot of pitches, and then he strikes out at the end. Like, he'll strike out on the ninth pitch, out of the zone.
And he's really a symbol of playoff failure because, like, even in the playoffs, like, he knows what pitches not to swing at. But when we're facing a good pitcher who's just firing strikes, like, he's fucked. He's not getting big hits against tough pitchers. He just knows which pitches not to swing at, which if you can't hit the cookies, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I mean, like, you watch his at-bats, and I think, like, you know, guys like us, like, we're genuinely looking for something positive.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, and he's, you know, he's battling. He sees a lot of pitches. Like, I'd be curious. He's got to be top 10 of, like, seeing the most pitches. And, like, there's some value to that. But, like, that's immediately negated when you get picked off at second base.
Right, exactly. And it's one thing if he was struggling at the plate, but he was hustling his balls off and playing great. Like Lindor on the Mets. Like, he sucked for them, but he's playing great defense. You know, he's sprinting around the bases. It's different. Hicks, you can just kind of tell.
Hicks is out there early for batting practice, they say. He's, like, the only guy. So, like, hey, at least, like, he's doing that. But I just, like, I don't know. Like, if he just got slower, it really does look like there's a lack of effort when it comes to being athletic, which we've harped on for, you know, a couple of years, driven by you.
Yeah, I mean, tonight they're going Florio in center, Hicks in left. I agree with that. Florio, like, we don't know if he can hit, but at least he's going to fly around the field, play solid defense. You know what I mean? And Hicks isn't going to do that. My last ditch effort to Hicks is I would go to him and I'd say, you're right-handed now. Like, just bat right-handed. I mean, just see what happens. It's a last resort.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we've got the best record in the league, and none of that's because of what you've done from the left side of the plate.
Yeah, no, you're right. And every year as we approach the trade deadline, it seems like there's always one obvious need, right? In 2019, like, everybody knew we needed a starter. Last year, everybody knew we needed a lefty bat. And this year, I think it's pretty obvious everybody knows we're going to be looking for a center fielder. Like, it's our one hole, really.
I mean, we've got Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I mean, that works in the playoffs, but, like, can they sustain him in center and stand and right, you know, five?
Well,
scares me.
I've seen some chatter about Benintendi.
I'd love that.
I've always liked Andrew Benintendi, Benny Biceps, but, you know, how's it going to fit? Kind of thing. Like, you know, you've got to, if you're going to bring in another outfielder, we got to give up on someone. And I don't think as you get into the playoffs, that person's not Tim LaCastro. Because you need that speed. Like, you get into the playoffs, you need that 26 guy to just be able to go take bases.
Yeah, 100%. And Benintendi's a guy, we know he's not afraid of the spotlight. We know he loves hitting at Yankee Stadium. His swing is pretty much built for our stadium, and he killed us in Yankee Stadium, specifically with the Red Sox. I'd love to bring him in. And, yeah, LaCastro's got to be just, like, the playoff pinch runner. Like, he can't be starting a game.
Yeah, I mean, Benintendi, I mean, he's older now, so he probably hasn't.
What, 28? He can't be, like, that old.
Well, I'm just saying, he hasn't played center field since 2019. But he played a good amount of center field. Damn, he's born in 1994.
So that would make, so he's 28. 2 years younger than me. Yeah, so, yeah, 20. Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, who knows? Maybe it could be him. He's got 71 games in center field in his career. But, you know, I think when it comes down to it, we're looking at, like, you almost need, like, to make a move like that. Like, let's get a season-ending injury to someone.
Yeah, no, and I just think that again, like, in the playoffs, like, Judge in center and stand in right, you know, that sounds fine. All through the summer, that it's like, I don't know, one of them's going to get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I've liked seeing Stanton out there. You know, I like him being a ball player. As we get into the dog days, there's going to be cramps and shit like that. Like, yeah, get the days off. But now at the same time, like, so we still need a catcher. Trevino at the end of that game yesterday looked fucking lost. I was like, oh, we got Gary back.
Higgy just sucks, man.
Yeah, like, and now he's got COVID, right?
Yep.
So, like, we still need a catcher. We maybe need some bullpen help. And I think the nice to have is the outfield at this point, because the other two are far more
interesting. So, what stud catcher are they going to bring in?
There's a stud, but, like, we hardly have serviceable.
No, I just pulled a Higgy's Baseball Reference page, 154 batting average with a 219 OBP and no homers and 5 RBIs. That is just brutal. Hideous. He's got a negative WAR.
I mean, yeah, we went into the season with backups, you know, and the hope is that, like, at some point we'd go in and get a starter. I mean, Sean Murphy's having a little bit of a down year, but yeah, he's batting 201.
Wilson Contreras, is he still on the Cubs?
Yeah, and so there's been some chatter about that. You know, I mean, I think we got to see, but, like, there are Like, we've got the best record in baseball, but we're not quite built to make a long run. I know that you have to go for softball soon. I just want to tell you one quick funny story.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the Yankees lose the first game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I've still got in the living room the MLB TV on. So, it's just got the, like, logo, and it's like, your broadcast is completed or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's on for like 10 minutes or whatever. And I'm like, all right, I got to let the dogs out. So I just go, I can't believe the Yankees lost that game. Say that to myself. And my toddler just goes, the Yankees suck. And my wife just goes, where the hell did she get that? I go, I don't know. She's been around for two. This is her third season. I've said that a lot. First time she's ever said suck.
Damn.
First time she's ever said Yankees. She sees the logo and she says baseball.
Oh, cool.
But she said, Yankees suck.
Is she going to be a hater, you think? Like,
No. She was just mimicking the thing that I've said. Probably the most common phrase that I've said over the last 3 years.
Yeah, if you think about when she was born, yeah, that makes sense. She's only seen 20 and 21, which they did suck both of those years.
Yeah. So
she was born at the wrong time, Yankee-wise, man.
I thought she was going to be a champion early, but she's not.
Nah.
Well, we got a big week coming up. We've got Baltimore. So we got to win that. We're going to Tampa. Nick's going on his honeymoon. Key West, Saturday. So next week I'll have a guest co-host.
I'm going to see the famous Lone Depot Park in Miami.
That's pretty sick. I know a girl who works in ticket sales down there. I can't imagine what the commission on nothing is.
Dude, I'm going, it's a Thursday night and it's Giants versus the Marlins. Over under, let's say 3,800 fans.
Maybe tickets sold. I don't know how many are going to show up.
Yeah. We're row six behind the dugout for $40.
Dude, you're pitching the sixth inning.
Give me a stake in the team.
Yeah. Yeah, congratulations. You're the new Jeter. We haven't talked about it, but like I Derek Jeter in a Subway commercial is off-putting.
It's embarrassing.
It is off-putting. Like, what is going on here, Derek?
Because when we were growing up, he was in there with like Brady and Tiger for like Gillette and all those cool Gatorade commercials. Like, everything he did was cool. Subway is so lame.
But like, I know it was like 1% or 2%, but like, you owned a baseball team. You're not in Subway commercials.
Yeah, and he made enough money in his career that you wouldn't think. Yeah, it was. I thought that was.
Like, was that
he
boredom?
Was wearing a jacket. He was wearing like a blazer. It was weird.
Yeah. Hal, give him a part of the team.
Well, are you going to Jeter Night Part 2?
When is that?
September 9th.
I mean, that's way too far away for me to think about.
Gotcha. But I think they're going to try and kind of bring him back into the organization a little bit now that he's done with the Marlins, because he kind of distanced himself.
Well, he had to. I mean, it makes sense. Like, there's only one team for sale. Yeah. You get that team. You can't be like, oh, I'm in love with this other team. Like, and he's a competitor. He's genuinely trying to win a World Series. I think he would have made them very competitive if they, you know, if he was able to like stay the course. It's a Friday night. I'm surprised they didn't crank that out for Sunday for 9/11 with like going up against football.
Oh, right. Yeah. The week, the classic week one. It worked out perfectly for me. So we have a wedding that Saturday. I think it's the 10th in like upstate New York or something like that. So I was like, hey, James. Friday night, we'll go up. We'll be halfway there. We'll stay in the city. We'll wake up Saturday, and we'll go to the wedding.
There you go. Yeah, no, that's too far away for me to have any idea where I'll be in life.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, lot going on, though. It's going to be a big week. The Tampa series, I know we got Baltimore now, but the Tampa series, I think is going to tell us a lot for sure.
Yeah, we can't look past Baltimore, though. That's how you miss the playoffs.
Yep.
All right, you can follow Nick on Twitter.
@NKirbyNYY.
Follow me @JJ from the Bronx. If you are in Key West or have any hookups, Nick's going to be there starting this Saturday until next Saturday. So tweet at him, give him recommendations. It's going to be a very romantic honeymoon. Oh, dude. So I'm friends with you, maybe your wife on Facebook, but definitely you.
Yeah.
You guys got someone a like gift because they're pregnant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they posted about it on Facebook on Tuesday and like tagged you. And it popped up on my feed, and I was pretty high. And I was like, fucking Jamie pregnant? I think she was slugging beers at her wedding. My wife is like, what are you talking about? She looks and she's like, you're a moron. They bought someone a gift. So I thought for a second, you got it done.
Not quite. Although I was actually, I just realized Jamie did that and I got the notification. I was like, oh, I guess we bought something.
Yeah, I guess we did. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, but someone asked me to be their kid's godfather like a month ago. They're like, oh, I was like, as long as we both agree that I don't believe in God, like, sure.
And
I was
it works.
I was like, hey, babe, I'm a godfather. Can you like just package, get some stuff and send it to this kid?
Classic.
May the Lord be with you and also with you. We'll see you at the parade.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.